Aloha.
Take two.
Now we're good. We'll just go with it.
All right.
Do it again.
No, we're here. We're here. Hello, everyone. It wouldn't be an It's Super Effective spinoff episode without messing things up.
Did I make it?
Yeah, we're here.
Did I make it on time? Aloha.
Welcome. What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Pokemon. Hi, everyone. Welcome to our Sultra Sun and Ultra Moon special.
That's Sultra Moon.
Sultra. It's sultry.
Hisology is one of my Pokemon as well.
Sultra, Salsa Sun, and Salsa Moon.
I'm your host, SBJ, and with me today, we'll get to what this is in a second, is Micah.
Welcome to the car.
Phone up.
A Monster Hunter podcast where you can catch monsters.
And Irene.
I don't know why I'm here.
Would you say you're a Pokemaster?
No.
Okay.
Would you say you want to be the very best?
I mean, I would like to be better than mediocre.
Ash never was.
Wow. Literally never was.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
he's pretty okay. I mean, he wins more than John Cena, I think.
I think we can all say that we're at least better than Ash. Team better than Ash.
In life or in Pokemon?
All of the above. All
right. So if you're a long-time listener of It's Super Effective, you might have known we've done this last year. We're doing this again. We're going to do a complete audio walkthrough of Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. Probably the only audio walkthrough you'll ever get on the internet. No, I don't know. Somebody else is probably doing this. But we've been doing this since X and Y, I think. Except X and Y was just me. I sounded very lonely and depressed. Mike and I tried to do this for Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. We both didn't like that game.
It didn't work.
And
didn't go very far.
We did this last year, and it was extremely successful. Some of the most downloaded episodes around. The format will be whatever's in the episode title is usually where we end. So if it says, like, Trial 7, assume that most of that episode is probably in regards to Trial 7 and that we will finish the episode talking about Trial 7. If it's titled something like Lusamine, probably means we're going to spend all that episode talking about Lusamine. And if it's Lusamine, if the episode's titled Lusamine and it's after Trial 4, you probably know exactly where in the game we are. And we're going to try to keep these episodes to 25 to 30 minutes. That's very unrealistic for us because we talk a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like every episode last year was an hour long.
Yeah.
Too long. But this is not a sequel. This is an enhanced version
of last year's episode series.
Yeah,
so it's more succinct.
It's a big word.
What was the title of it last year?
Alola from Sun and Moon.
So this is Ultra Alola from Sun and Moon, because this is the enhanced version.
Oh, I see.
Of that podcast series.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Ultra okay. Show.
The Ultra Show. Welcome to
Ultra Alola.
Welcome to the Ultra Show.
Ultra. Rola.
Ultrola.
That sounds like a Rock and Rolla Mega Evolution.
So if I remember last year's episode, we went from beginning game to trainer school. So I think that's our goal, except we might talk about Ilima a little bit.
Okay.
Is that how you say it?
Ilima?
Ilima.
That's how I say it.
If this is your first episode of It's Super Effective, obviously this is not a normal episode. We're going to be putting these out daily. So starting today, which is Saturday the
18th.
I looked at my watch, but it wasn't on my wrist. The 18th. If you're listening to this on the 18th, this is the first episode. We should be doing these daily until we are done with the game. We won't be doing post coverage right away. We didn't do it last year. We're not going to do it this year. I think, you know, we're here to cover the story from start to Elite Four.
Oh, you mean like endgame stuff?
Yeah.
I feel like we should.
I mean, we can do it this year. I just think we need maybe a couple days in between. We're already rushing through the game as fast as possible to do coverage for this, but...
Yes.
I'm aware.
Let's dive into things. We have the same... It's really loud. It's like really loud music.
Really
I was pretty
good,
on key, wasn't I? Irene's giving me a look like, yeah.
No, I'm not.
What a voice. That was okay. What a voice. Pretty much same intro.
It felt shorter.
Yeah.
No. The
not that part.
Kukui talking to you.
Kukui talking.
Skyping in.
FaceTiming.
Yeah.
Discording.
All the way to Kanto. It was pretty much exactly the same, I think.
All the characters were the same?
Yeah.
I think so.
All the portraits?
Yeah.
And then you start in your house, What we discovered on stream, Michael, maybe you wrote notes, but the items in your room are different if you're a boy or a girl.
Oh.
I noticed that. No, isn't it like the rug, and then there's like an Eevee on the bed?
Yeah.
Other stuff.
So on the boy's bed, there's a pincer blanket.
I did see that.
And there is a polywhirl rug.
Okay. I'm not sure what my rug was. I have a Snorlax plush.
That's about
yeah, everyone has that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. See, my problem was...
The Snorlax is not gender specific.
In my previous... In Sun, I played as a boy. In Ultra Sun, I'm playing as a girl.
The sequel.
So I thought that it was just differences because it was the Ultra version.
Oh,
I didn't realize that they were differences because... It was because I was a girl. Ultra blanket.
Do you know what the rug was, Irene?
I think it was me.
Green's not a Pokemon.
No, I know, but I'm just trying to remember like what it looked like.
I thought it was a Jigglypuff.
It is a Jigglypuff.
I don't know what was green then. There's a green rug somewhere.
It's the green rug is under Snorlax's butt.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well,
I had a Snorlax plush thing, an Eevee blanket, and a Jigglypuff rug.
There you go.
And still the like. Feather duster cat
yeah,
toy.
Yeah, I don't know what that cat toy next to
Snorlax
was. There's like this weird broom thing.
But the important thing is there's a Switch in your room.
I knew you were going to say that. I was like, there's a Switch in here. Of course.
And when you inspect it, it says it's a system that you can take outside.
Yeah.
Really? It says that? I didn't inspect it.
Really good.
It should have said coming soon, 2018.
My biggest excitement for the room, however, is there's a portrait of the Thunder Badge next to your TV that is signed by Lieutenant Surge, and it says, good luck.
How I can kind of see the Thunder Badge, but is this universally agreed upon?
All I saw is that
it was a Thunder Badge.
It was signed from a gym leader in Kanto that says good
yeah.
luck.
Yes.
It doesn't actually say Lieutenant Surge or anything.
I mean, it's signed on a picture of a Thunder Badge.
But it's kind of hard to tell it's a Thunder Badge.
It's definitely a Thunder Badge.
I'm just saying.
I'm convinced at this point that Lieutenant Surge is our dad.
Here we go.
That's all I'll say on the topic for now. I think Lieutenant Surge is our dad.
Okay. All right. We pick our character first, and then it like pans to some like newspaper on our desk. And then it goes to the Lily scene?
I'm
pretty sure it's the other way around.
I think it goes character picking, and then that scene, and then you...
Oh, yeah. Right. And yeah, because you move. Because then you move, and then you wake up into your room.
Yeah.
So the Lily scene, 100% the same, except we see, instead of two members of the Aether Foundation, we see the Ultra Recon Squad.
The two of them?
Mm-hmm.
I honestly don't remember them until later on.
You don't remember them?
I don't remember interacting with them until later on. Like, in the scene, I didn't... Because I remember when I ran into them the first time, and I was just like, oh!
What do you mean, first time?
Went later on, when you're walking.
Oh, like right outside.
In the game? Yeah.
I actually missed this because I was... We've been streaming it.
Yeah.
And I was talking... responding to something, and then everybody in the chat was like, oh, there's different bad guys, and I went, oh, who? Because initially she's being chased by just Aether Foundation people, and I was like, oh, it's the same intro.
It's frame to frame the same, except for
the
they
very end.
Literally replace two people with two other people, but they're still frame to frame the same.
Yeah,
which I think they've showed that scene in trailers before too, so it's not like that opening was a surprising or anything. Okay. They've definitely showed it in trailers. Then you go into your room. We talked about your room. One thing I noticed in the house is your mom tells you to get your bag and your coat off the coat hook.
Yeah.
Where in original Sun and Moon, it was in the box. So you went to a box and you unpacked it. It's just like a minor.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
A minor difference that doesn't actually matter. I just noticed it.
I believe at some point, I don't know if it's that point or a little bit later, your mom also says, I'm determined to get these boxes unpacked today, which I don't remember her saying in the previous game, but like...
Because the joke was...
She definitely doesn't unpack the boxes.
Yeah, and I think when you beat the Elite Four in the first game and you come home, the boxes are still there, right?
never unpacking. Mom's too busy. She's got stuff to do.
Hanging out with Meowth.
Yeah.
You're determined for this Thunder Badge.
She's trying to meet a nice Mr. Mime.
You're over here determined about that Thunder Badge.
Tell me that's not a Thunder Badge.
I don't know. It could be a rainbow badge that's desaturated.
Why would that be the case? It's yellow. It's a sun. That's a Thunder Badge.
Is a Thunder Badge a sun?
Look, what?
I feel like I'm staring at a Rorschach test.
Look beyond.
Beyond.
I see a face.
Look behind the black squiggles.
I see that.
That's a Thunder Badge.
This is good audio. I'm pulling up a Thunder Badge. Oh, it is a sun.
That's a Thunder Badge. It's confirmed. Our dad is Surge.
It could be a desaturated rainbow badge.
Nah.
I mean, you're only getting one color in that portrait.
Also, your fridge is stocked with Surge energy drink, so.
Oh, I missed that. That was the big ultra twist there. Are you outside and you can like walk around right away?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Your garage is open.
And your dad's car is in it. Which is weird.
L Surges.
You go up to the car and inspect it. It says, it's your dad's car. I don't know if either of you did that.
I did not do that.
And then the surfboard next to it, you go up to it and it says, it's your mom's surfboard. Apparently mom's killing those waves.
And then there's a broom next to that and you go up to that and he goes, it's Mr. Mime's broom.
Yeah.
Oh, something's fishy going on around here. You get to meet your starters right away. Irene, do you want to explain this part?
Yeah, no, I thought it was interesting because when I walked outside the house, I was like, what am I supposed to do? Because I have to walk out through grass, but I don't have any Pokemon. This is strange. So I was just like, okay, well, I'm just going to go. And then you go and you have that interaction with what? I didn't write down what Pokemon it was. Was it a
Young Goose?
Mine was Young Goose.
Yeah. And then Kukui shows up and the three starters are like, let us save you.
It's weird that they could talk in this game.
They did actually out loud say, can I save you?
Yeah.
Does it?
No.
No,
no, of course not.
I don't know if there's any dialogue to that.
And then Kukui was like, I can't believe they went and they did this for a stranger. Hi, have your Pokemon. Pick one. Which I know that was different from the first game because I think Hala lets you pick your Pokemon.
Well, he says later. He says, let's go see Hala because these are a gift from him.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird. Like, how that timing is very convenient.
Succinct.
Yeah.
I thought it was nicer since it took so long to get your starter, I felt like, the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to reset for a certain starter, like if you wanted to try and get a shiny or like a girl or something like that, it's way faster.
Also, you can save right when you get to the top of that hill.
Yeah.
And then just
soft
reset.
Yeah.
I didn't think about saving.
Yeah.
I did because I thought I was going to change my mind. What starter did you guys pick?
I picked Litten.
Well, I'm playing two games. So I picked Popplio for my stream version. And I picked Rowlet for the podcast version because I'm playing that one much faster.
Yeah.
And then last game, I picked Litten. So now I can make eggs for all of them.
There you go. What did you pick?
I picked Litten. I had Popplio last time.
You had Rowlet last time?
Yeah. No, I had Litten. I had Litten last time.
Oh, so you're doubling down on Litten.
Yeah, I didn't really... I'm also streaming it, so I kind of left it up to stream to decide, and they came up with the name Nakamura for Shinsuke Nakamura. I felt like that was good.
For a cat?
Yeah, for a cat wrestler.
A red cat.
Because he evolves into a wrestling cat.
Spoiler.
I mean, if you don't know at this point.
From exactly 365 days ago. So yeah, day and night different, whereas I felt like it took close to like 45 minutes to get your starter last year.
Yeah.
It took a really long time last year.
This was, I timed it. It was 8 minutes from character creation, name, Lily cutscene, talking to Mom and Mr. Mime, and then walking outside to get your starter.
It's very quick. It's also much more, I don't know, it's similar to like, okay, I'm going outside, Mom. I'm going on my adventure. And then you walk into the tall grass and the professor stops you and goes, here, you need a Pokemon.
Yeah.
Rather than like you walk around for a while.
I mean, that's similar to the first two games.
Yeah.
But not three. Three is
right.
Is it Birch getting like harassed by the Puccinas? And then he's like, save me, the Pokemon are in the bag over there.
But you're still like leaving to go on an adventure without having a Pokemon.
Yeah, that's true. And then you go up to the...
You battle how?
Oh, like, yeah, you go up the hill. Yeah. Boy, that's new too. Oh, this is all new. But you go up the hill and you can battle Pokemon, wild Pokemon.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the top, you meet How. How then was like, oh, I get get sloppy seconds over here. I guess I'll either get whichever two are left.
Yeah.
And then you battle with How right away. You could say no. I don't know what that does, though. I didn't say no.
I didn't say no either.
I didn't either.
I was like, you're a cakewalk, buddy.
Yeah,
I'm assuming if you say no, you can probably just go battle some more and then you'll have to battle him again.
That's probably accurate. I don't know what this is called. The stage? What is this?
Yeah, the stage, I guess.
Where you originally get your Pokemon.
Yeah.
There's like this little short cut scene, which I just want to mention, which is really cute, of like Alolan Exeggutor walking, but you can't see its head.
Yeah. Is this... There's like a festival going on.
They're getting ready for it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is also new. Like that... It felt more lived in. That little town. What is it? Iki Town?
The festival happened the year before.
Yeah, you just do it after.
Yeah, but this like felt...
Like they're preparing for it.
Yeah. Like it's lived in.
Yeah.
It felt like it's populated, which was nice.
Populated.
Yeah.
Puns. Hala's missing, so then you have to, I guess, for some reason, go up to Tapu Koko's place.
I think you meet...
That's where you meet Lily.
You meet Lily, but I can't remember if there's like a reason to walk
up. As you're walking
up,
Kukui says, Hala's not here because he's tending to island business. This is what kahunas do. And then he says, in the meantime, while you're waiting, why don't you go check out the ruins for Tapu Koko, the island guardian. Says, go like see them because Tapu Koko is important to this island and important to the residents here and so on. So that's like your cue to go up to check it out. And it's also, there's people along this path too that are just there to like pay respects to Tapu Koko, which I don't think was in the first one. I think it felt more like you were actually walking into ruins that you're not supposed to be walking into. Like that was the vibe you get. Lily's like sneaking in and you go in after her.
Well, last time you're not really doing it because it's like all cutscene related.
Right.
Like all of the Lily bridge interaction was pretty much a cutscene where you walked two steps and then it cutscened again.
Yeah.
And this was all still before you got your Pokemon.
Which bridges into... Did you get that pun? Bridge.
Yep,
yeah.
Bridges
into. It was a good transition.
I'm proud of that one. It bridges into the Pidgey attacking
the Spearow
attacking
the
amateur hour over here,
Nebby,
Micah.
And you actually get to fight them.
Yeah, I liked that a lot. I liked that change.
Yeah.
Spearow. Yeah, that was cool. It like solved the whole opening of the game, solved a lot of the problems with Sun and Moon. I think the major complaint was, it holds your hand for the first 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And this, it's still holding your hand, but it's doing it in a way where it's feeling like you have some control.
It's more of an intro in that it's practical rather than being like a lesson. Does that make sense?
I guess it also shows you what the game is about. Whereas if like this is your first Pokemon game with Sun and Moon, you don't know what a battle is until you pick your Pokemon and then you battle How.
Yeah.
And this is, you see the three Pokemon right away. You can spend as much time as you want in the grass battling Yungoos and Pichus. I think there's a Pichu there. It's really rare, but...
Get your Torracat right away or your Dartrix and then just roll How as quick as possible.
You get to battle a trainer. And then you get the battle of Spearow to kind of feel like you're doing something instead of just this cutscene.
Yeah.
And I would hope by then you have a feel for the game.
Yeah, because you do get a lot of... You get way more battling and Pokemon interaction by that point. So, And it also feels like you're... My problem with that scene initially was... Okay, like, Lily's scared, and maybe that's the reason why I'm the one running out on the bridge, but, like, I'm also just a kid with no ability to, like, fight off the Spearow.
You also don't have a Pokemon initially.
Why am I the one running out here? Like, I guess, I don't know. this at least makes sense because I have a Pokemon, so I can do something to help Nebby.
Mm-hmm. Then you come back to the festival. So same stuff happens. You come back to the festival. You battle Hao again, which I thought was interesting, on stage.
Did his Pokemon level at all by that point?
Yeah, his Pokemon level, they're slightly, I think he's at 6 instead of 5.
Okay.
But he has a Pichu this time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Correct.
He caught the Pichu that is impossible to find in that grass. Also, yeah. Just on Route 1, is it Route 1? I think it's Route 1. Chat was telling me that it's 100% catch rate.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, and I tested it. Every Pokeball I threw was the caught without any damage.
Huh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, like, if you want to start padding that dex really quick.
I mean, it's not like that. I think there's only, like, 4 or 5 Pokemon there, yeah. But yeah. Got to get your Ladyba. You got to get your... What else is
Pick-a-peck.
On that? Pick a peck. Was there a pick a peck?
Yeah,
I didn't find
one. Get your Yungoose. Get your,
Pichu.
Pichu. Get your, Grubbin.
Caterpie.
You get a whole team by the time you...
I had, like, 6 Pokemon before I left.
I did, too. And 3 of them were bugs. And then after the festival, we see the Ultra Recon Squad again.
Yeah, this is what I remember of seeing them first. I just know that they were talking about aura readings,
mm-hmm.
and like the brightness, the blindness, whatever it was.
Getting their Patronus is ready.
The blinding one.
The blinding one.
I feel like I know who the blinding one is, but Irene, do you think you know who the blinding one is?
No.
Okay.
I think I do.
All right. We won't say, I guess.
I think I know who it is.
Okay.
Actually, like, should we say?
No.
I mean,
it's like in 17 trailers. It's like in every trailer.
I guess. I don't know.
Do you think it's a new Pokemon or do you think it's a Pokemon that's existed?
Probably an older Pokemon.
All right. Well, if you think you know
it. Can I say that I think it's a combination of new and old? Is that a good way to say that?
No, because I still think it's an... I don't think that's a fair answer.
Okay.
All right, we'll continue on. It's okay. So here's my second question. So as of this recording, I'm done with the first island. And I think Micah's on the second island. Irene's done with the first island. Do you think Ultra Recon Squad are good guys or bad guys?
I think they're neutral right now. From what I can see, because they're kind of just like observing from what I'm seeing so far.
Okay. Micah?
I think that initially I thought they were bad guys because of the way that they're presented. Now I think that they are good guys who are being misled by bad guys.
You think they're bad guys?
I think they're bad guys. I'm going to go with that.
All right.
And I'm only going based off the trailers and everything.
Okay.
All right.
I saw the trailers. I didn't consume the trailers as much as I just watched them. Some of this I'm kind of like flying blind, I guess, a little bit. Like the blinding one. I'm the blinding one.
They're clearly looking for a specific Pokemon. They're looking for the blinding one.
They're looking to protect the blinding one.
We know that Cosmog can open and close Ultra Space.
Yes.
Which is different than Hoopa, which can open and close just rings.
Yes.
To summon Legendary.
Yes.
But not Ultra Beast.
They also make many statements that lead you to believe that they're not of this world.
Right, 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 right.
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought that was implied.
Yeah, they're from Ultra Space.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm confused why they definitely noticed Cosmog, and they're like, this is who we're looking for. My impression, though, is if you're from Ultra Space,
yeah,
and you're looking to either get something or protect something,
yeah,
Ultra Beast related, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
This little creature on the bridge that you're looking at right now.
Yes.
Why do you want nothing to do with it? They must know that Cosmog can open and close holes.
But possibly.
But I guess maybe they don't need it because they clearly got to Earth somehow. Or not Earth, but Alola.
Also, these are the same characters from the intro that are trying to stop Lily and Cosmog from leaving.
Yeah.
But then they see her
right,
in Cosmog.
Yeah, that's
so.
What I don't get.
Yeah,
they're
I don't
clearly
know.
Chasing Lily at the beginning, and then they see Lily on the bridge at the festival, or not on the bridge, but at the festival, and they're like, we don't need her anymore. Like, what happened in 3 months?
Yeah,
was it?
3 months.
You know?
A lot can happen. This is
robots.
I guess.
They only have 32 gigs of SD card space.
Oh, I see. Yep. That's
so, you know, that was overwritten.
Lily takes you to Professor Kukui's lab, which is pretty much the same as before.
The whole scene is the same. I was a little disappointed at this point because we already got the Pokedex prior to this.
You get the Pokedex at the lab.
No, you get Rotom at the lab.
You get Rotom Dex.
You get the Pokedex
earlier
when you get your
Pokemon
bracelet and your everything. When you're talking to Kukui as you're in the like the festival area. So I was like, oh, we got the Pokedex already. Good, we don't have to spend a million hours at Kukui's lab. Sure enough, have to spend maybe even more time at Kukui's lab.
I mean, we don't have to spend much time on it. Same thing. Lily has a loft. Hal tries to go up the loft. Lily says no. You go up the loft anyways. There's nothing really up there. You can lay in her bed, which is real weird.
Kukui says, smell those beds.
Kukui says the same stuff, gives you Rotom Dex. And then there's a scene right when you leave his lab that is new. There's like a lunar eclipse that happens.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember that. I was like, okay. Was the scene that happened when he was training with Rockruff before that you guys enter, was that the same?
Yeah, that's the same.
Okay.
Because like the whole point of that is like Kukui studies moves. And so the point is he's having his Pokemon use moves against him. And that's why his house is always a wreck.
Yeah. And that's why his lab coat's always destroyed.
Maybe that's why he doesn't wear a shirt.
The nother. You have entered the nother. Another interesting difference is that at this point in the story, Lily and Kukui already know each other. They've already met. When you meet Lily for the first time, she's already staying at Kukui's house. Where in the previous games, you and Kukui meet Lily kind of around the same time.
She's always been the assistant.
Yeah, she's always been the assistant.
Yeah.
I'm almost positive at the end when you're leaving and Hala says, can I use your bracelet or can I see that stone or whatever? Kukui says, Lily, do you want to come stay with me? I'm like pretty certain that happens.
Because she shows you his lab in the first one again. And yes. Then her stuff's already in that loft.
That may be the case, but I'm pretty sure that prior to that, when you're leaving the festival, he offers her a place to stay because she doesn't know where to go and she's lost or whatever.
They're both Hala and Kukui are aware of Cosmog the entire time.
Now, because they see it. She is nervous that anybody is going to see Cosmog.
I thought that she was nervous that anyone else besides them
Kukui
was going
Hala.
To see Cosmog.
Yeah.
Because she trusts them.
Right.
Because I'm pretty sure that she's been his assistant.
If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Both times.
She is the assistant both times, but I don't think she is the assistant from the moment that you meet her in the first one.
I think she is. Because it's supposed to be when the 3 months pass. Like, what is she doing for 3 months, though?
Getting to that island?
Trying to escape? She escapes in that moment.
I don't know.
She comes, and then she's been with Kukui for 3 months.
None of us really know what happened in that 3 months.
That's true. We'll ask Kukui's wife, who doesn't live with her. Him. There's the trainer school, which I think where we'll leave off after that. So after all said and done, you can get to the first Pokemon Center.
Yeah.
You can get your Rockruff if you need to. Which is save the game in the Pokemon Center.
Yep.
Go back out to the main screen, go to Mystery Gift, Internet Access, Mystery Gift, I think it's called.
Yep.
I think it's just called Mystery Gift. And then it will send a Rockruff to your game. It will be level 10. It will come in it's the all red ball.
Yeah.
I don't know what
Whatever
it's called.
Event ball?
Event ball. Yeah.
I don't even know if that's right. I just guessed.
So this Rockruff is the Rockruff that can evolve into Dusk form Lycanroc.
Yeah. In Ultra Sun, between the times of 5 p.m. and 5:59 p.m., but in Ultra Moon, between the times of 5 a.m. and 5:59 a.m.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's real time. That's not in-game time.
Ugh.
So if you have Ultra Moon and you want to evolve that Rockruff, you better be up at 5 a.m. Or just change your clock, I guess.
After level 20.
Just change your system clock. 25, I think, is what?
Oh, 25.
Yeah.
Wasn't it last time? It wasn't until the end of the game where the time switched. And now this time, like, because it's nighttime in the day and it's daytime at night.
They've always been 12 hours apart.
It's been like that both times?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So sun is always real time.
Because I thought that that didn't happen until later.
You can, so once you beat the game, this is not a spoiler because you could do this in the first one. Once you beat the game, you can go to the altar and you can go through it and change it.
And change the time of day.
Right.
Okay.
So if you're in moon and you're playing at 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, wait, this, if you're playing moon and you're playing at 10 a.m., it would be dark.
Yeah.
But if you wanted it to be normal, once you beat the game, you just go through the altar and it will switch to normal time. Otherwise, it's 12 hours apart.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
The school is slightly different, but I don't know if there's anything notable to talk about. Like, they move a couple kids around.
Yeah, they did. I mean, it was just, I sprinted through it because I did this 6 times to get all the Ash Hat Pikachus. And,
wait, you had, what do you mean you did the 6 times?
No, I got to the Poké Center.
Yeah.
And then, oh no, I did, that's not what I mean. I just did it recently because I had to play Moon all the way through to get to the ranch to breed. And so I just did it recently, and when I was playing this, I was like, oh, I know exactly where the kids are. I'm going straight to them. And I found the first one. I was like, there they are. There's the second one. I can't fight him till later. And then everybody else was in a different place. I was like, why are they doing this?
Did the teacher always have the third starter, or is that new?
Yes. I'm pretty certain that they did.
Because on my stream playthrough, I'd pop Leo. And her Rowlet just wrecked.
It was rough.
I'm pretty sure. No, I think they did.
I don't remember being that hard in my a year ago.
I will say I don't remember a lot of this game being as hard as it is a year ago. Some of it is pretty stressful.
Like, I feel like the trainers are kind of good.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh,
I
sent out my bug against this Litten.
Yeah.
Hopefully it doesn't use Ember, because most trainers don't understand types, and they'll just use Tackle instead.
Like,
but no, they don't miss. They know to use Ember.
Yeah. And the amount of random trainers using, like, potions and full restores and stuff is infuriating.
Yeah. There's, like, a trainer on, like, Route 2 that used a full restore. I was like, I can't even buy that. I don't even have money to buy that yet. Full restore is, like, $4,500.
It's ridiculous.
I feel like catching is also a bit harder. Route 1 is the exception because it's 100% catch rate.
So frustrating.
But they've definitely said in trailers, like, we've made it easier to catch Pokemon. But I think all that means is the Rotom Lotto is easier.
Yeah, Lotto? Maybe.
Isn't yeah,
Roto Lotto.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked that.
Yeah, let's save that for the next episode, though.
Okay.
So we'll leave off as trainer school. Yeah, you learn some more stuff about Rotom anyways when you get to, like, the third Pokemon Center, I think. The third Pokemon Center. You'll learn something more about Rotom. They'll actually, like, sit down and explain Rotom Lotto to you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, so we'll leave off there. We'll be back tomorrow. Well, since Alola is both hello and goodbye,
Alola!
Bye.
Bye.
It's Super Effective is hosted and produced by me, Steve Black Jr. If you would like to support It's Super Effective, you can head over to our Patreon, which we have updated to an easy URL for you. It is ise.cash. And for as little as $2 a month, you can support It's Super Effective and join our Slack community where you can chat and battle and trade with other Pokemon trainers. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.